What's up, guys? Welcome back. I have an exciting guest with me today who works in the workshop with me and Stella. We have Zergy.
Hi.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me. It's my first time doing anything interviewee podcast
really?
Like this. Yeah.
Yay. Well, I am honored. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you.
I first found out about you. I wanted to drop a little bit of lore because you were my roommate's favorite cosplayer. Before I really started cosplaying ever, I knew who you were because she would always talk about Zergy. And so when I met you finally, I was like, oh, this is Zergy, you're Momo's favorite cosplayer. So you were my roommate slash best friend's favorite cosplayer.
Oh my gosh.
For a long, long, long time.
That's so funny. Oh, I don't know what to say. That's so funny. It's
surprise.
So sweet. Yeah.
You're like, I have social anxiety. Yeah. I'm scared. And I'm like, guess what?
What do I say? Yippee.
Right. Sorry to put you on the spot, but I thought that that was a fun little tidbit of information.
That warmed my little shriveled heart has grown 3 sizes.
Good. I'm glad. Well, you're amazing. I feel like your cosplays have always been incredible ever since I've seen you post stuff on the internet. And obviously, when Momo would be like, look, Zergy did a new thing. And your Commander Shepard is my favorite cosplay that you've ever done. It's one of my favorites. So I'm glad that you have time to sit down with me because I know you're working on a crazy deadline right now.
Yeah, just a few. Shepard was one of my dream cosplays, and I put it off for years and years because I was like, when I do it, I don't want to be disappointed with any aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And so once I finally did it, I was like, I kind of like this. This is a nice one.
It's awesome.
Thank you.
It's so good. And I saw there was a photo of you meeting Jennifer Hale, the voice actress.
Yes.
Commander Shepard when you were in costume too. Was that awesome?
So that was at SAC Anime. And it was when I still lived in Northern California, so it wasn't too far for me. But I drove literally to SAC Anime just for that.
Really?
Just to meet her. I was only there for maybe like 3 hours because I put on the cosplay, met her, cried, and left.
Stop. That's so funny.
And it was so funny because there was like a little kid meeting her in front of me, and she was like, oh, hi. And then me, I must have been like 25-year-old grown adult, like crying, shriveling, meeting her. And she was like, she was so sweet though. But the juxtaposition of like a kid that's so excited and then this grown woman losing her shit.
Good. I mean, that's, I'm sure, what she's used to.
Yeah.
She's like voiced every iconic character in the world, it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to talk about how you got into cosplay. You started out by studying art, right?
So I actually did my first cosplay when I was like 12.
No way.
Yeah. Long, long time ago. But for what I studied, I went to school for game design with an emphasis in animation. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's kind of like my degree background.
Mm-hmm. So when did art come into play? Did cosplay come first or art came first?
I've always done art since I was a kid. Like, not to be like, this is my life story.
It's in my blood.
But like when I was 5 years old, my dumb little painting of rainbow fish won like a postcard contest.
No way.
Like, Just little things like that.
An artiste.
I've always been into art. And so when I learned that people actually dress up as characters that they love, I was like, oh my God, I gotta do that.
So what was your first cosplay then at the age of 12, the ripe age of 12?
I was Domo-kun.
What is that?
The big brown guy that's like.
Oh my God, wait. That's awesome.
Wait, can I actually show
yes,
you?
Yes, please.
Because
please show me.
My dad and my grandma helped me on this. And
I'm so excited.
To this day, I am still proud of it.
Good. I feel like it's going to be awesome. If you're comfortable, I'd love to steal that photo from you so we can put it in. Stop. It's so good. I knew it was going to be good, but I was waiting for the pop off. Stop. It looks so amazing. Wait, can you show this camera right here? Can you see that? Yeah. Bro, that's so epic.
That's in my grandparents' house, like about to head to Fanime.
I hope that it's like in an attic or something, sitting like right above like an antique that is scary. So if somebody's ever in the attic, like, I don't know, fixing some sort of air conditioning or something, they're like, dude, what the fuck is that?
So it's in my parents' house.
Oh, yeah.
And my last two cats, Snickers, who was before Peanut, and Peanut, when I still lived with my parents, they made the top of it their home, and now my parents' cat has made the top of it his home.
It's a cat tree.
It really is. Because it's like, that's it's made amazing. With batting and fleece and stuff, so it's nice and squishy.
Uh-huh.
So the cats just love to climb on it and sleep on it.
Oh my God, that's epic. Wow. The best recycled use of a cosplay of all
honestly,
time,
yeah.
A cat tree. That rocks. So then what made you want to cosplay in the first place when you were growing up? Did you see a cosplay online, or did you like see somebody on the street? How did that come to be?
So there were a couple like big influences for me wanting to cosplay. I didn't even know what cosplay was when I went to my first con. And so when I saw people dressed up, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to do that. And I thought about it for a year of what I was going to be. And then I had this dream of myself just wearing a box. And I woke up and I'm like, I'm going to turn a box into Domo-kun.
Incredible.
But then also like doing cosplay a little bit more than a hobby. I remember being like 13 or so, around the same age, and watching G4. Mm-hmm. Their coverage of E3.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Jessica Negri there.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw other people dressed up too. And I was like, they're like, they're professional dress uppers.
They're doing it.
I was like, I didn't even know that could be a thing. And mm-hmm. so that was something where I was like, I didn't know like, you know, costumes could be a career path. And mm-hmm. so that was me just kind of always having that in the back of my mind. Like, that would be so cool to do.
Mm-hmm. And not only are you a professional dresser-upper, but you worked on TV shows, right?
Yeah.
Like the morning show?
I worked on the morning show. I've worked on, I can't remember what it was called, but it's some sci-fi movie or show by Jennifer Lopez.
Hell yeah.
I was only on their costume department for like a week because they just needed extra hands. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've done a couple, few film things.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
What would your younger self think of you now doing all of these like cool art projects, like, I don't know, as a career?
I think my younger self honestly would be in disbelief.
Really?
Yeah. And I have to kind of remind myself that, like, you know, every now and then being like, look where you are now compared to what you wanted when you were younger. Like, even when I feel down about myself or like where I am in certain aspects of life, it's like, 12-year-old me would be like, yo!
Yeah. Isn't that sick?
Yeah.
I do that too a lot. Like, there's the nature of the job of like content creation, cosplay, like being your own boss, you sometimes forget to like stop and smell the roses.
Exactly.
But when you get like a little dose of perspective here and there, it's like, wait a second, I'm actually doing a good job.
That's why the thing you said in the very beginning about your roommate made me like, oh.
Yeah. I remember because I lived in Florida at the time. And I had Momo on as a guest because she made me my first cosplay.
So
she was, one of the earliest episodes that we did, but, she loved cosplay and she made me my first costume. That's how I got into cosplay. Cause I would go to cons and I was too nervous to dress up. I was like way too shy. I would like shake, but, I think you guys are the same height.
Are we really?
And so she was always like, she's my height.
Oh my gosh.
No one's ever my height. And so that was like my first intro into like some of the cosplayers that were in California. So I've known your name for quite a while.
Heavy breathing.
Yeah. Well, don't ever let anybody get you down because your cosplays are incredible and they always have been. So
thank you. You too.
Well, how did you go from making a giant box to where you are now? Hit me with a couple of like the chronological roadmap milestones.
So
it's a big question.
I wore that Domo cosplay for like 3 or 4 years, and all I ever went to was Fanime. So I would look forward to Memorial Day weekend and wear that box, and I had a great time.
Hell yeah, you did. That's awesome.
And then I can't remember who I discovered first, if it was Vulpin or if something Squirrel. Do you remember their name?
No, I don't, unfortunately. I know Vulpin.
Do you mind if I look it up?
Yeah, go ahead.
Blind Squirrel Props.
Blind Squirrel Props.
Yeah. So I saw like Vulpin stuff and Blind Squirrel stuff, and I was like, I kind of want to try making something else. So the thing I made second was Lucy from Elfin Lied.
Nice.
And we made the helmet and everything. My dad helped me a lot with this. Actually carved out of styrofoam.
Whoa.
I have photos of it because it does not look like styrofoam.
Pre-3D printers.
Pre like EVA foam and stuff too.
Yeah. I remember the days.
So this is obviously a photo shoot from recent days, not when I was, you know, 14 years old, but that's the helmet.
Is that the same helmet?
Yeah.
What?
So that's styrofoam, and then that little, the mouth part is like CNC'd sheet metal.
What?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Too many layers of foam coat.
Wow.
My dad was mad at me. But I was like, Dad, please. So I did that. And I made a few other like props for fun. Like I made a Daft Punk helmet the same way. Mm-hmm. I made a keyblade out of like poplar wood. Yeah, just kind of being like, this prop would be fun to make. How can I, you know, incorporate it into a cosplay?
Yeah.
So
isn't it crazy how we used to have to like source our materials before, God. And now we can like load up a 3D printer or like buy crazy thick EVA foam online and it's easy.
There was a part of me when 3D printing was becoming popular and I was like, I'm going to make it out of foam.
Yeah.
And then once I started like getting into 3D printing, I was like, I don't know why I was like that.
I did the exact same thing. I was like, I don't know. I feel like I don't care if other people do it, but I want to make it with my hands. And then I did one thing with the 3D printer and was like, I'm an idiot.
Well, I feel like 3D printing also, it allows you to do even more with your hands.
Because
the time that would be spent normally Dremeling the same bevel for 30 minutes, you can spend sewing or doing a wig or
totally
even a different foam prop that like 3D printing can't really do that.
Totally. It cuts a lot of the time in half, and cosplay takes so much time. So yeah, I agree. It's really helpful. Well, when did you study art or was it all computer science? Do I have good intel here?
So I was at community college for a long time because I didn't know what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. When I first went to community college, it was computer science because that's what my dad wanted me to do. And I took 3 courses that I would not have passed without the internet and decided I absolutely hated it.
Okay.
And my dad was like, just stay with it. It'll get easier. I'm like, no, it's one of those things where it's like some people don't do math, some people don't do history, and there's just that disconnect and you don't get it. That was computer science and programming for me.
That was history for me and science. I hated both of those subjects.
So after computer science, because I always had art as my elective because I'm like, I want to do something in art. Mm-hmm. I started doing film and animation. And I really liked doing animation. The community college I went to had us do like hand-drawn stuff, stop motion, like all sorts of stuff. And then I ended up transferring to a trade school for a couple of years, which was like their main thing was game design and animation. And so I ended up, my bachelor's is literally in game design.
Gotcha. Okay.
With specialization in animation.
Okay. I've caught up now. I got this.
So I kind of like compromised with my dad with the game design sort of thing.
Gotcha. So have you used any of that knowledge from game design, animation, and all of that stuff in cosplay?
I've definitely used a lot of the 3D modeling.
Totally, especially now.
Yeah. It kind of sucks because I was trained on one program, probably the most expensive program. And since I don't have a student license for that, I have to reteach myself on other programs. But yeah, definitely the 3D modeling definitely helped. Other aspects, not really.
No.
If it comes to like ripping assets and stuff, I have a little bit familiarity with like importing that into certain programs and doing that. But yeah, just the animation and, I guess, UV unwrapping.
Oh, wow.
So do you know what Pepakura is?
I would love for you to explain it. Okay. Because I understand the concept of it, but I've never tried to do it.
Okay. So take, here's a box.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to fold the box flat, it would be a square here, square here, square here, square here, and like two squares this way.
For everyone listening on like Spotify, like a middle square and then like a flap in each direction.
And then a longer
flap. And then a longer flap for the top.
So that if you folded the paper up, you would get a cube. And that's basically how a lot of textures are done in games also, where the 3D model is split at certain seams and laid flat. And then that's why you'll have like funny pictures of the textures where the face is just like stretched out and stuff.
Yeah.
But that can also be applied to Pepakura since it's the same type of a 3D object being laid flat.
Yeah.
And can also transfer to foam.
Gotcha.
So
you had a couple extra skill points.
A little bit,
when
yeah.
When you started.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about like making a game or anything?
I have so many game ideas.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you ever do like game jams or anything like that?
I never did a game jam. I've always, because right out of college is when I first got my job at Sony and then the ball kind of started rolling. I've never really had the time to do anything.
Totally.
I've got so many ideas in my brain though.
Do you have any off the top of your head that you'd be willing to share?
So
for the internet,
I wanted to do a game. I just have the concepts of it in my head right now because, again, I've never really sat down to kind of dish things out. But similar to the game Lisa the Painful, where you have like 30 different party members you can collect, except it's a pixel side scroller and you're exploring like Chernobyl.
Okay.
And so you can get all sorts of party members from like people who are surviving and hanging out to people who have been mutated by the radiation to just all sorts of stuff. And that was kind of the main concept was tons of party members can customize like any experience.
That's awesome. I like it.
Thank you.
Play it. Whenever you make it, let me know when you need voice acting and I got you.
Yep, I got you.
What were your first couple cosplays that you made once you, after you made the Elfin Lied mask? Like, what was your timeline? Was it all, for example, when I first started cosplaying, I made Android 18 and then I made like 8 League of Legends cosplays. The League of Legends pipeline, if you
really
will.
Is.
So like what was your like your crafting kind of timeline like, and where was League in it?
So okay. So there was the Elfin Lied. My boyfriend when I was like 16, we did Pyramid Head and a nurse.
Nice.
A Silent Hill nurse.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I can't remember what I did after that. I know I did Haruhi Suzumiya at some point. That was like a bot cosplay that was too big. I didn't know how to hem it, so I safety pinned and just cut the skirt and it frayed everywhere.
No.
But I was so happy. I dyed my hair brown and everything.
Wow, really?
The two that were like once I really started getting into like the community and stuff was mm-hmm. I did Vanellope from Wreck-It Ralph. Mm-hmm. And my friend Greg, who was like 6'4", big guy, did Ralph. Mm-hmm. And so we went around Fanime and he had me like on his shoulder and stuff too.
Uh-huh.
That. And then it was Jinx.
Yeah.
The league pipeline gets everyone.
It does get everyone. I was like, I did Akali, I did Teemo. I think I did Teemo first. And then what else? Thresh. I did a female Thresh. That was the first time I ever went to Anime Expo. It was my first like out of state California convention. Mm-hmm. And Miss Fortune. And another Miss Fortune skin.
I love Miss Fortune so
many
much.
League of Legends cosplays. Well, would you ever remake your first cosplay that you ever made?
No.
And upgrade it? No?
No, I love it how it is.
Let it rest in peace.
There, yeah. If it goes, it goes. But there's something very just like nostalgic about it being made literally out of cardboard and the apparatus for the shoulder system, like how it stays on my shoulders, was one of my dad's cut up t-shirts just duct taped inside.
No like, way, really?
It's just so like what's the word? MacGyvered together.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's cute. Now that you have done all of these crazy costumes and have worked in Stella's warehouse on like all of these crazy projects, do you have a favorite costume that you've worked on for somebody else, or a favorite event that you like helped make a costume for, or anything like that?
There'd kind of be two things there. Mm-hmm. As far as event, I didn't help make the costume, but I was the cosplayer or actor for it. It was E3 quite a few years ago, and Destroy All Humans was doing their little alien things, and I believe it was Henchman Props that made all of it. And so it was me and like four other 5 feet tall people,
yes,
in these silicone alien suits going so around cool. E3. It was so funny.
That's awesome.
But as far as favorite things that I've made, I feel like the Javik for Baby No Money and Will Neff.
Yeah, that really, really popped off, didn't it?
It did so well, and it was something I mean, I'm still so excited about Javik, but like at the time, super fixated on. I was like, this is the best thing ever.
Yeah, I would love to talk more about that. So what pieces did you make for the for both outfits?
So Stella did the like the way that the wraps and stuff were. I think Luca ended up doing the heat and bond for Victor's robe so that it was two-sided.
Mm-hmm.
I did a lot of the prop sanding and painting and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I know Stella did the assembly on the hammer, and there were parts of the assembly we did together as well.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the painting on those was what I had done. Oh, I did the bodysuit, the painting all the veins and stuff on the bodysuit
for Victor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We were both here when Stella accidentally super glued the PVC pipe wrong into the hammer head, and we were all sitting there trying to pull it out together.
Yeah. I was so sad at that, especially because I saw the super glue like dripping down onto the hammer. I was like, my paint job.
No. Yeah. That's when your friends all come together.
Yeah.
And we all helped out until it was fixed. But that was crazy.
There were so many hands on that project. I know there's definitely people I'm leaving out as I'm thinking about it. But like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a very, very tight deadline.
Oh, my God.
So all hands were on deck.
It was like 9 days.
Yeah, 9 days, guys. It was wild. But everyone did a fantastic job.
It was such a fun time, too, the whole stream and stuff.
Yeah. Are you a Javik fan?
I bet if I tap my phone, it will be my background.
Ugh.
I had to cycle a little
wow.
bit, but that's Javik.
That's not Javik. That's awesome.
Victor.
Amazing.
Like,
yeah.
At least 20 out of 30 of the photos in my phone cycle.
Okay, so it was like truly a passion project for you.
I mean, I've been a Javik shipper since season one.
Really?
Also.
No way.
So
wow.
So when season two happened, that was my Super Bowl. That was it was so good.
That was my Super Bowl. That's so funny. Yeah. I have been swayed into it after all of seeing all the cosplays and seeing everything, like all the fan art and stuff. I'm a fan. I'm a fan.
It brought me out of retirement making AMVs. That's how much I loved it so much.
Wait, really? Oh my God, wait. I'd love to. You should share that with me afterward, please. Just for research purposes.
I'll send it to you.
Thank you. What's your favorite part of crafting? Do you have a skill you like the most?
I think my favorite part of crafting is honestly just kind of brainstorming and sourcing things. Like fabric shopping is my absolute favorite.
Really?
I love being like, oh, you could do this fabric, or this one has a pattern, but this one has like a subtle pattern, or you could do this trim, which would make it look fancy. Cause I really like going extra on things. And like, if there's just a gold line in something, I'm like, what if I just put a gold trim there? And it also makes it easier.
So like the creativity of it, like building it, making it your own. Yeah, that's – it's almost like a puzzle.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like what's the perfect fit for this right here? That's – it's surprising to hear for me because I get so much anxiety – fabric shopping here in California in the fabric district specifically because there are so many lights and sounds and colors and things happening, people trying to talk to me. I get so overwhelmed that I'm like, I don't care anymore. I'm getting the first one that I see and I'm leaving. Are you comfortable now that you've lived here and experienced it?
Yes and no. I'm like 70 to 80% comfortable ignoring people. And then there's a part of me as I walk by, I'm like, oh, I feel really bad because I don't want to ignore people. But I've had a few bad experiences in the fashion district.
Really?
Yeah. I had a guy like chase after me down the street.
Why? Just to talk to you? Or
I don't know. So I was crossing the road and I was heading to Blue Moon and I hear this guy saying something, and I just thought he was talking about someone else. But he was like on the phone. He was like, oh, hang on, let me try and get her. He's like, miss, hey, miss. And I continue for like five different stores, and he's still going after me, like trying to get my attention. Right. And then I eventually hear him be like, nah, she didn't turn around. So yeah,
what the heck? That
was very unsettling.
yeah, that place, it feels like the Wild West. I only want to go like in a group.
there's the place that I usually park by, it's in one of like the alleyways, but there's this homeless guy that's always there. And when one of the times I left my car and I just started walking and he's like, remember to lock your car. I don't, because he was like, I don't want to have to deal with a break-in today. I'm like, you're watching over my stuff.
Aww, that's so nice.
Yeah.
So now you park there every time?
I park there like,
oh my God.
If I can find a spot there, because it's still street parking, I'm always there and I always see that same guy.
Oh, that's so cute. What a guy.
Yeah.
Have you ever judged cosplay contests?
I've judged a few. Yeah.
Do you enjoy it?
Yes and no. I love seeing all the creativity and stuff from everyone. Mm-hmm. I hate choosing a winner.
I hate it. Same.
It's so hard.
I know what you mean.
It's so painful.
It really is because so many people should win for so many different reasons that it's like, how do I pick one and like justify it? You know?
Yeah, I was at Surf City Comic Con earlier this year. helping out their cosplay contest. And like, there was a really cool Jinx and Vi, and they had all, you know, all the weapons and it lit up and all this stuff. And then there was a Vi cosplayer who, like, you know, the bot jeans, the bot jacket, but on the jacket, they hand embroidered that entire patch. And wow. I was like, it's how, because like, how do you judge hand embroidering a, you know, 8-foot by 6-foot patch versus mm-hmm. big fist? Mm-hmm. And it was so hard. I think I gave them my judge's choice because I wanted to shout them out so
mm-hmm,
bad.
mm-hmm. Do you have any like big no-nos for people who are wanting to enter cosplay contests? Do you have any like general guidelines that you would recommend people follow?
I know a lot of people will say no hot glue, but I think hot glue is a great tool mm-hmm. when it's used in the right settings. Mm-hmm. You just got to be wary of the strings mm. and the gushes of it everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Like the remnants and the mess.
Yeah, definitely that. Ironing your cosplay is a big one for me.
Yeah.
Just personally, I'm like, this, you know, $20 Amazon school uniform could look so good if you just ironed it, please.
Yeah, ironed it and like maybe airbrushed it a little bit or like added a couple of like little paint things here and there.
Yeah, airbrushing can definitely do a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Do you do that often at all? I do it all the time, but I'm curious, do you ever buy cosplays and like fix them up to wear them for like shoots or anything?
I've done that a couple times. Usually if I buy a cosplay, it's because I'm mostly happy with how it is while bought.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, if I'm going to do any work on it, I'm just going to make it myself.
Fair.
But there's been a couple times where I buy something and I don't like the little gem it comes with or something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, I'll do that on my own. And I think that's a really good way for people who are also just getting into crafting,
mm-hmm.
But still, you know, want to put their own spin on costumes mm-hmm. to do that.
Yeah, I feel like every time I buy a costume, I have to replace the belt.
Oh my gosh.
Belts are always bad.
It's always folded like 8 times.
Yes. And it's always like the thinnest piece of leather I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh no. And the belt buckle's like shiny gold fabric and not an actual buckle. But I was going to ask, so if you were to, so say if somebody is coming to you for advice and they want to fix up a cosplay that they bought, do you have any like tips and tricks that you could tell them? Like for me, I always say like airbrushing something
mm-hmm.
like will always transform it and make it look like 10 times better.
Like I said, ironing is such a big one for me.
Yeah.
And then even just small things, like even if you're fabric gluing it, replacing trims on certain mm. things, because it can really, there's so many character designs in just across all of media that will have like a gold strip,
mm-hmm.
just a plain gold strip. And if you got like a gold braid or something and even just glued that down on top of it, it already makes it so much more unique.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, if you're doing any props or something, like if you're getting like a sword or something from Spirit Halloween, just weathering it a little bit.
Mm-hmm,
just
mm-hmm.
just like little zhuzhes.
Yeah, 100%. Completely agree. Have you ever competed in cosplay contests? Or
I have.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Have you ever won anything?
I've never won first place in anything. I've gotten quite a few judges' awards.
Nice.
And like best props or like, you know, the kind of the side categories.
Mm-hmm. That's still winning.
It is. Yes, it is. Sorry. I don't mean to downplay that. But I've actually been wanting to get back into it again
mm-hmm.
because now that I have a little bit more experience and more crafting knowledge,
mm-hmm.
I really want to combine that with like engineering
mm-hmm.
and really just make some crazy shit.
What cosplay would you like to make? Is there any characters that you have like in your mind?
So the one on my mind that I've been like brainstorming this for a long time and I'm finally just starting on it is a Gwendolyn from Odin's Sphere. And she's got these
so familiar.
Tucked away bird wings right here. Mm-hmm. And what I really want to do is put a motor in so it can open like this, and then expand.
Oh, sick.
So her wings will go like this.
Yeah.
And that's, that's kind of I'm making a few other things for myself, but that's my big, big project.
Mm-hmm. That would be sick.
I'm really excited.
That's awesome. Well, we're going to check back in whenever that's done. We're going to reference it.
It's been 84 years.
No pressure. As an all-around talented cosplayer, because those are facts, what is an aspect of cosplay that you had the hardest time to learn?
I still have a very hard time with patterning.
Really?
Yeah. I know if I've done the same pattern a lot of times, I know how to do it. If I have a dress form, I can drape and do the pattern easily. Mm-hmm. But something about if there's a weird shape, my brain has a really hard time converting 3D to flat 2D. Mm-hmm. And that's also where that pepakura and that sort of UV unwrapping has come in handy. Because I can import something like that 3D and be like, okay, computer, help.
Yeah.
So I think, patterning is probably has been the toughest thing for me.
Can you picture things in your head? You know how some people, there's a scale of what you can picture in your head? Can you picture the whole thing in your head?
I think I can.
Okay.
I'm I don't know what else to compare it to, though.
Yeah, I know. Have you seen the chart that's so it's nothingness,
It's not
level
nothingness.
One is black. Level two is the apple that's just an outline of an apple or something like that. And then the next level is a fuzzy, almost Gaussian blur.
I think I'm at that level.
Really?
Yeah.
And then the fourth, I think, is full-blown HD, can spin it around apple.
Yeah, I'm not – I think I'm at the almost to that one.
The fuzzy one?
Yeah.
See, I am – two, where I only have the outline of things. And I had no idea that that wasn't normal until it was an internet thing where people were like, I don't trust people who can't picture things in their brain. And I was like, wait, people can picture things in their brain? What do you mean? And then I learned something about myself. And then everything started to make sense because I have so much trouble picturing how to put things together or picturing how to decorate a room because I can't visualize it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? No, the bug got you.
The gnat just went right there.
he Simba'd you.
He did.
So now I understand my hang-ups with visualizing how things fit together. So I totally know what you're talking about. I get where you're coming from, where patterning is really difficult.
I'm a visual learner too.
Same.
So I'm trying to think of a specific example, but I can't. But Stella will be like, okay, just do this kind of hem and then add this attachment. And I'm like, I need you to draw that.
Yeah.
I have no idea what you're saying.
Yeah, same. I can't picture it in my head.
And she draws it. I'm like, oh, it's exactly what you said.
Yeah. Yes. Wow, I feel so seen right now. If someone was just getting into cosplay, what three tips would you give them in today's 2025 climate?
Don't be afraid to have what you would consider a bad cosplay, because everyone has what they think are their own bad cosplays.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really how you can grow.
Mm-hmm.
Wear a respirator. Wear proper PPE. I did not know how bad Barge was for you for the longest time.
Yeah.
And so I would sit back when I lived with my parents. We had a couple spare rooms because we're a really small family. And so I would just sit in there crafting, window closed, door closed, hours. Just huffing Barge.
And the brain cells are screaming.
I wouldn't stop until I was dizzy and had a headache.
Stop!
Because I didn't know how bad it was. I've definitely lost a few years of life for
that. I have done that as well. No judgment here. Completely understand. It was less well known, I think. I don't know how many, 5, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Like all of the safety stuff. We were also like young. Me and that fly, we're going to fight.
He's staring right at me.
Okay, he's gone for now. I saved you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, I like when you're younger, you're not concerned with your safety.
Mm-mm.
You don't feel... You don't feel vulnerable. So I've done that as well. Also, the thing about cosplay is that you are like every department combined into one. And so you aren't considering how long everything takes. Even if you know that it's going to take a long time, there's so many things that start popping up. So then if there's a deadline, like a con, and you're trying to get it done, then the last like week before the convention is a scramble and you're not thinking about protective gear. It is very, very important.
Yeah. One thing I actually always did, not always did, but would kind of do as I was learning more and more skills is, I mean, I have a laundry list of cosplays I want to do. Like, I could never do them all in my lifetime.
Yeah, same.
So if I felt like I was doing well with props, the next one I would choose one that was a little more sewing oriented to kind of challenge myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one, props or like a wig or something. And just kind of doing both of them and like one upping every single time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really a good way to challenge yourself and gain new skills without feeling discouraged.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that's really... Because that can happen really easily if you're working on something and you can't get it. You're like, fuck.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm sorry. Can I swear?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, okay. Yes. Yes. We're pro swearing. At least I am. So, what would you say are the main differences then? Since you did work on like costume departments for like shows and things, what's the main difference between making a cosplay for a client, like a friend of yours, versus working on like a really professional corporate set like that?
I guess when you're working with something that's more like on film set and stuff, you want it to be as easy as possible. You'd like, there'll be times where you're like, oh, yeah, you could just like kind of safety pin this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want that. You want to make sure there's a snap in place, a Velcro, there's something. Mm. You just want to make sure it is as user friendly as possible, is probably the best way I can put it. That way, if multiple actors wear it, it's, you know, really easy for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of hard because, like, with the morning show, it's all very contemporary clothing. So,
oh my God, he loves you.
No.
He's gone.
No, don't love me. And a lot of that honestly was like bought from Macy's and Bloomington's and all that stuff and then altered to fit certain actors. But like with the sci-fi show, I wish I remembered the name. We were doing like little armor bits that had to be attached to their suits, and like that had to be as user friendly as possible. You couldn't have anything that was slightly confusing in terms of how to wear it. Then with making stuff for people, I think the thing I like about that is I get a little bit more freedom on how to make it. Whereas when you're making it at a studio or something, you have, they want you to use these fabrics, they want you to use these tools, all this stuff. And then if I'm making something for a client, like a personal commission, it's, there's a lot more freedom in it. And I also like getting their input too, because I'll be like, hey, I'm thinking about this fabric. What do you think about that? Do you think that's good? And, you know, they'll be like, no, I hate that. Or they'll be like, yeah, that sounds great. So
I don't know if I have it in me to do things as like perfect and polished as it would need to be for like a TV show based on how you're describing it. Because I'm such a like, get that bad boy on your body and it'll be good for the day kind of crafter.
Yeah, that's the other thing. There's been times where like my seam maybe went like that and I've had to seam rip the whole thing just to make sure it was like a perfectly straight seam. And yeah.
That's crazy. Okay. A little off topic, but you mentioned somewhere on the internet that one of your favorite animes is, sorry for her if I pronounce this wrong, Haruhi Suzumiya?
Haruhi Suzumiya.
Thank you.
I was like, I don't want to interrupt you and be like, actually.
You know what? I appreciate that. What is your current favorite anime and which would win in a 1v1?
My current favorite. Oh, that's so hard.
I know.
Honestly, it's still Haruhi.
Really?
To this day, like,
give me like a synopsis of what it's about.
So it's about this girl, like high school level girl, and this guy who's like, yeah, I've given up on fairy tales and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. Life is boring.
Yeah.
And he meets her.
But we can fix him.
And she's super, eccentric and eclectic. And it turns out she's God. And so,
what?
And because she's obsessed with like the paranormal and stuff, the people surrounding her, one is a time traveler, one's an esper, one's an alien, and they have to make sure that she stays happy or else she can like destroy the world and not even know it.
Oh, okay.
And she doesn't even know she's God.
That's crazy.
So yeah, and she's like, oh, time traveling, aliens, oh, it's so cool. And the main guy, Kyon, is like, the fuck did I just get myself into?
And he's like over it already.
It's the most modern, like recent thing I can compare it to is Rascal Does Not Dream of Bunny Girl Senpai. If you ever saw that one?
Mm-mm.
Oh, that one's really good.
I don't watch as much anime as I should. I'm much more in like the video game realm, like with any amount of free time that I have, I'm like, what if I play this stupid mobile game or like pick up my Steam Deck and play a little bit of Baldur's Gate or like something like that. And I am so behind on anime. So
I'm behind on a lot too. That's why I was like, I there are recent ones that I love, but as far as like a recent favorite, that's she still holds the spot for me.
Yeah. Well, that's your recommendation then?
Yes.
If you were to recommend an anime to the world.
But if you do watch it, only watch episodes 1, 2, 7, and 8 of The Endless Eight.
Okay.
Because there is like a mini part of it where they get stuck in like a Groundhog Day sort of thing for 8 fucking episodes.
Whoa. Okay.
And it is so annoying. Because nothing really changes except in like the first two and then the last two.
It's just filler.
It's just 8 episodes of the same thing.
Oh my God.
It was so annoying.
Damn. Okay. Well, now we know. It's which episodes?
It's called The Endless Eight.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's 1, 2, 7, and 8, you said?
Yeah. The first two and the last. I forget which ones they are like chronologically in the series, but you'll know once it starts because it'll just be the same episode 5 times
a million
in a row.
Times. Yeah. That's crazy of them to do. They were like, somebody's on strike and we just have to just repeat the episode over and over again. Okay, well, speaking of video games, I mentioned earlier that your Commander Shepard was my favorite cosplay of yours, despite you having many, many, many good cosplays. When was the last time you played through the game series? Is that your favorite video game?
Mass Effect is my favorite game. I think the last time I played through it, it's too long ago. It was when the remastered came out.
That was COVID times, I think.
It was around, a little after, because I remember I was down here at the time, and that was 1 or 2 years after COVID. Yeah, it's been a while. I've had a couple friends that have done playthroughs, so I've been living vicariously through them. Yeah, I'm overdue. I'm way overdue.
I have some rapid fire questions to ask you.
Okay.
For the Mass Effect fans including myself. I played Mass Effect for the very first time over COVID. And it was, I streamed the entire thing, like 1 through 3. And it took forever, but it was so fun. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big fan. So without further ado, Caden or Ashley?
Caden. Easy.
Really?
I hate Ashley.
You hate Ashley? Wait, why?
She's space racist.
She is, isn't she? I saved Ashley because I was like, girl power. And then she fucking sucked in the third one.
Caden, I don't like a lot, but I just, my hate for Ashley overwhelms it.
God, I agree. I regret my choice. Is Andromeda good? Yes or no?
I like Andromeda.
You do?
I do.
I've never tried it.
So the combat in it is really fun. A lot of the world quests that you do get repetitive, mm-hmm. but the characters are good. The combat is fun. The multiplayer was fun when it was there for like a year. Mm-hmm. I would recommend it.
Okay.
And at this That's point, a lot of the bugs that people have complained about are mm-hmm. gone. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. Okay. Paragon or Renegade?
If I have to choose, mm-hmm. Renegade, so I can punch a reporter.
Fair enough. Cure the genophage or don't cure the genophage?
Cure them. As much as I love Morden, and he is my tragic little scientist. I have his little like statue and everything.
He's really?
My tragic little scientist baby.
I mean,
cure it for sure.
That's his final wish,
it
right?
It is.
Save the council or let them die?
Save the council.
Yeah? I don't remember what I did. I think I let them die.
Honestly, both are valid in my opinion.
I don't remember. Save the Rachni Queen or euthanize her?
Oh, I save her every time.
I save her too! Geth or the Quarians?
Or both. I'm trying to remember what I did like my first playthrough. Because I know now it's both every time.
Mm-hmm.
I think my very first playthrough I did the Quarians.
Mm-hmm.
But as of now, it's both. I will make it happen.
It's both? Yeah. Yeah. I had people in my chat helping me.
Good.
kind of navigate all of the big decisions. Like, okay, make sure you do this dialogue coming up. And it was really helpful. I don't always love like the backseat game of it all, but for stuff like that where it's huge and it affects like the entire game.
And then you'll have like, just a bad time after.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I agree.
Are Geth people?
No, but they deserve the same rights.
I agree. And finally, who is your Mass Effect romance?
Oh, Garrus. Easy.
Yes! Yes!
I had a Garrus phone case for the longest time.
That's right. Justice for Garrus.
Thane is a close second.
Yeah. I agree. But there's something so specific about Garrus
that is
the best. He's just the best.
Thank you. He's that perfect mix of like cockiness. But once you like confront that cockiness, he's like, mm-hmm. and was like awkward about it.
Yeah, I know. And he's just like a homie. Like mm-hmm. he's just always there when you need him. He's just always got your back. Calm, cool, and collected. Love that guy.
I remember when I like ever try and romance anyone else, and then I see Garrus and Tally get together, I'm like,
are you jealous?
A little bit.
I was too. I felt like I was third wheeling, even though I romanced Garrus.
Yeah.
But they had those like scenes together, like the cutscenes, and I was like, am I intruding on this romance right now? Okay, sick. That was perfect. We have all of the same answers. So we are Mass Effect compatible, if you will. Okay. If you could give your like top cosplay tip, what would it be? And since that is a pretty big question, while you ponder that, if you are taking like a go bag to a con, what supplies are you putting in the go bag?
Okay, so I think My number one tip is not all glues are equal.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'd think super glue or hot glue would do the job for everything, but they don't.
Mm-hmm. This is a great tip.
Yeah. Like, there will be like vinyls and pleathers where you have to get like vinyl glue and stuff. Mm-hmm. Or if you do super glue on it, the super glue will just peel off. Or, you know, contact cement's the best option for something. There's a website called This to That, which has like a chart of what you're gluing to what and which is the best one.
This is so fantastic.
You can also just Google like glue charts. Mm-hmm. And there will be some more because I don't think This to That has literally everything.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a cosplay-specific one going around at one point. But yeah, I usually bring like 3 or 4 types of glues with me just in case.
A fantastic tip.
Yeah, that.
Such a good tip.
So that and thread and needle just to like hand sew something.
Mm-hmm. I do all of the exact same things. And my little tip that I'll throw in there, if you don't have a needle and thread and you need one, all hotels have them at the front desk. So if you're ever like, yeah. So if you call the front desk in the hotel room or go to the front desk and you ask them for a sewing kit, they always have a sewing kit. Same with like a toothbrush and stuff like that. But they have sewing kits at the front of every hotel. So that saved me. It saves me a lot. Yeah. And with that, would you please plug your socials and let us know where you're most active online?
So I'm Zergy on just about everything. I think my Facebook page is Zergy Cosplay, but I don't use that too often. I'm at this point, I'm probably most active on Instagram. It was Twitter. Not anymore.
No. Rest in peace.
I've tried Blue Sky. I've tried it.
Yeah. It's not the same.
It doesn't give me that same like serotonin rush.
Yeah.
But yeah, probably Instagram is the most. And I am Zergie, which is Zergiee on everything.
Yeah. Thank you so much for hanging out with me. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I am excited to tear you away from the sewing room and have you over here in my corner of the warehouse. Well, with that, what makes a good Groot dance?